Welcome back to the Trees and Nylon podcast. I'm your host, Trees, and I'm joined today by the Titan of Tags, the close personal friend of Drake from music, and the ruler of the raffle. It is Travis Spinks, aka Travis Spinks on Instagram, aka Breaking Dad 420. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Hell yeah, man. I'm stoked to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you. I've been following you for a while. For anyone who might not be aware, Travis is the guy who is famous for drawing the lightning on the Arc'teryx jacket. And that's how I found you, at least. I don't know. Famous in our realm, we'll say. I don't want to paint you as just a one note guy, but.
Oh, no, definitely. That's where it, kind of all started for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. As far as, being recognized for stuff. Mm-hmm. I was always painting, here and there, but like we were saying before we got on, it always takes a little bit of luck, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, mm-hmm. and then you get in there.
Yeah. And your little bit of luck was the, that lightning bolts. What do you think was the first piece that people saw that got you notoriety?
Honestly, it was probably, when I first started working on Arc'teryx jackets. Mm-hmm. There's this older one that they definitely don't make anymore. It's like kind of like a burgundy colored one that I did some yellow lightning on for the first time, mm-hmm. just kind of like fucking around, and that got a huge look from all those aggregator sites and all that stuff. I'll still get reposts on some of those sites from that very first jacket, which is crazy.
Super all the mood sick. Boards went crazy when they saw it.
Yeah, for real, dude.
Nice. And what kind of inspired you to, was that always just kind of like the lightning design, something you always did on other artwork that you just carried over, or was it just an idea you had?
It was kind of it was more of an idea from just thinking about airbrushing, because that's what I do generally is airbrushing. Just kind of thinking what motifs, what kind of themes have been used in airbrushing, classically. And I was kind of thinking of seeing all the old Vans from the 70s that would have Frank Frazetta paintings, a jack dude with a sword and stabbing a tiger or something, and a lightning bolt coming down to him. And I was like, oh damn, lightning bolts, that's the shit with airbrushing. That's probably the most easy to communicate and to do with airbrushing. So I was like, oh, let's see if I can do some of that. And it's crazy because, airbrushing is very kind of image based, whereas I was doing a pattern. And I think that's kind of what caught on, especially because it's freehand. I don't really plan it. Yeah. So that was definitely what inspired me. So I'm always trying to think of flames or lightning or water, something that you can kind of achieve easily with airbrushing.
Yeah, like a pattern that's easily recognizable rather than I've seen some today on my feed. Actually, I saw a video of a guy airbrushing a jacket with a football and then a team logo or a team name under it. And I was like, this is kind of corny, shit. Honestly. I had the opposite reaction. I was like, it's kind of corny. But then when I go back and look at your stuff, I'm like, this is just nicer. You know what I mean?
No, I totally feel that. Yeah. I mean, sight unseen, my first thing is always to be like, oh, hell yeah. I love being supportive, but yeah, maybe it does suck. I don't know.
No. It's good. I'm not an artist myself, so it's really easy for me to criticize, but I could definitely not do what I saw him do.
I totally feel that. Yeah. It's definitely easy for me to be critical as well. I'm definitely not always the best at being the most supportive, but I definitely try sometimes.
Well, hey, that's what matters, is that you just keep trying.
Right.
Well, hey, let's jump into sort of the actual meat and potatoes of this podcast. And I should have asked you before, would you consider yourself an outdoorsy kind of guy? If not, you can say no and we can move past it. And I have a different topic.
No, well, actually, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself to be the most outdoorsy, where it's I don't, plan trips to go camping or anything like that. But I do really enjoy the outdoors. I feel like if I'm around people that are doing it, I'm all for it. I think a lot of my experience with the outdoors was kind of when I was a lot younger and I was trimming weed in the mountains of California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would go out there and I'd be like living in a tent for like a couple months at a time, just like chilling, dude, like real camping lifestyle, outhouse, really? The whole deal. Yeah.
How'd you get into that?
Well, I was living in Oakland and, I was painting a lot there and I was like, you know, I was a lot younger. This is like, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And I was just like painting a lot of graffiti and just kind of being like kind of a degenerate more or less, you know, so just looking for money, you know. And back then it was kind of before the like main boom of it all becoming like super legal and like government like regulated or whatever. So we would just know some people that would be like, yo, we got some work if you want some work. And I'd be like, hell yeah. And at the time it paid really well. So we'd just go up to the mountains in like Humboldt or whatever for a couple months and just, you know, come down with like a bunch of cash in our hands and just feel like rich people for a couple months.
That's so
yeah,
cool.
It was a good time. Yeah, that's it was awesome. Fun, man. Honestly, I was getting used to it. I was like, I could probably do this all the time, but it's not much of a career, that's for sure.
Yeah, you just be one of those guys. Yeah. There's a couple of them on the internet that just live off the grid out in the middle of nowhere. Just like live on public land and have built a little cabin.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, if that was happening, like where I'm at now in my life, I think I would probably way more down for it. But now I'm living in New York and I'm like fully trying to do the art thing full time. So it doesn't really make sense. But honestly, like it would be really sick. Cause like, I wish I had climbed back then. Cause I wasn't really into climbing as much as I am now. I'd only been climbing for like 2 years or so, but like I'm super into that. I like going outdoors and stuff like that. So I need to find a synergy between the two, you know. I need to put a couple more years in New York before I can do that though.
Yeah. When did you start climbing?
Like during COVID, I think.
Okay.
A friend of mine who is a tattooer, he was like, hey, I'm, you know, trying to figure out a way to like just kind of get more active and do something that's fun and that's not just like strictly like lifting weights in the gym, because we all like kind of come from like skateboarding background and that's kind of like not as like fun, I guess, to most people who skateboard. I don't know, not judging anybody, but I was just like it wasn't really for me, like just going in and lifting weights or like running or something like that. So when he introduced me to climbing and we were both novices, like we had just started, like after my first day like going to the gym with him, I was hooked. So now, and instead of skateboarding and hurting myself all the time, I get to climb and hurt myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a tale as old as time of
it's crazy,
going to the gym once, going to the climbing gym once and being like, I'll buy some shoes and this is my new thing. And immediately after just like 2 hours of climbing.
Oh yeah. I was like, oh, this is great. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I found my new thing to do. I was like, yep, no more skateboarding. I'm done.
You just dropped it cold turkey.
I mean, honestly, pretty much. Like, I felt like I wasn't skating as much as I wanted to begin with. I feel like I was just prone to injury. I was so sick of rolling my ankles. And like, once I found climbing, I think what it made me like realize what I was really looking for in kind of like a physical activity anyway, was which is like getting stronger.
Yeah.
Whereas like skateboarding is awesome for like when you learn something new, but it doesn't really, you know, translate to like strength, I feel like, you know.
And yeah
I'm like, damn, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm not getting any younger, so you know, I need to like, you know, focus on something that kind of keeps me like a little more like working my muscles instead of just, you know, jumping off something and, you know, crashing.
yeah But actually, that brings me to another question that I have personally, because I know you're rocking the Silver Fox look. How old are you?
Yeah I'm 35.
Okay, but and is that genetic or do you diet?
Yeah, it's genetic, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you had gray hair for?
I started getting it when I was, well, I got my first one when I was 12. And then 12. I got a lot when I was like 15 in high school, which that was kind of like an awkward stage for me. I wasn't really a fan of it at the time. But as I got more and more and like I went to college and stuff, I was like, you know what? This is kind of sick. Like, I feel like, you know, I was kind of hiding it away. Like I'd wear hats and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like when I was in like, you know, a sophomore in high school or whatever, I'd be like dyeing it and shit like that, but just dyeing it like crazy colors. You know, I was way more into like hardcore and shit like that back in the day. But yeah, now it's like, oh, I would never dye it now. I just like keep it the way it is, let it rock.
Wow. Yeah, because I know there's one other guy on the internet, if you're familiar. His name's Joel Haver. And he's probably around your age. But he also is just like full gray hair. That's also like the same thing. He just had gray hair from a young age. And my roommate, who's only 25, I just looked at him the other day and he had like some gray in it. I'm not going to say anything to him. I think it would devastate him. But
oh, really? Oh, man. Tell him if you ever do talk about it, tell him it's, you know, show him a picture of me and be like, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a
good thing. You could look like this guy, bro. It'd be pretty cool.
They just tell me he needs to get more stressed out.
I think, is there, have you ever looked up why like it happened at such a young age? Is it purely genetic or is it like you had a really stressful childhood?
My mom had it when she was a lot younger, but she had like kind of like a focused, like it, not, I wouldn't say like a birthmark, but like it was kind of like through like one part of her hair. Mm-hmm. And then she had my sister and it kind of skipped my sister. And then I got it. Apparently it's like,
you got all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently it's like a recessive gene in like Irish people. I don't know. Honestly, I haven't looked into it too much, but that's what I've been rolling with.
Yeah. I buy it. That's fine.
Yeah. I think if you see a lot of younger people with gray hair, they're probably got some Irish in them. I think we're historically stressed out people too. Maybe that's
Yes, all the Catholic guilt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, ages of it. Nice, dude. Well, getting back to your childhood, maybe before the gray hair started, I'm not sure. Were there any other like standout moments of you enjoying the outdoors when growing up? Or, you know, past, any time in the past. It doesn't have to be when you were young.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Just as a kid, though, like, so we like, I grew up next to like a, like big plots of like empty open land. Mm. So I think my like favorite thing as a kid was like, we'd go out and like climb trees and stuff, like the typical shit. But like, we'd have like sleepovers and I'd have like two of my homies stay over and, or like three of my homies stay over. And then we'd like have like flashlight hide and seek, like out in these big like fields with all these trees and shit. Very crazy.
We call that manhunt.
Yeah. I remember it being very nerve-wracking and scary, but very fun. Also, this really, it doesn't have much to do with the outdoors or even really why I do lightning. But when I was very young at that same house in Houston, it's like Tornado Alley where I grew up. And we were always getting like crazy tornado warnings and shit like that. And I remember my mom was like always like hypersensitive about that shit. She'd be like, oh, like watching the news crazy, like, oh, we got to get out of here. Like, this is fucking going nuts. And I remember one time we were like trying to evacuate our house from some crazy tornado that was coming close to our house. And there was like crazy thunder and lightning going on. And I remember we're at our back door and we're all leaving. It's like crazy windy. And I just remember seeing this like crazy like blinding flash of light, and it was just so loud, like loudest thing I've ever heard, completely terrifying. And we look up and this big oak tree in the back of our house is like split in half and on fire.
Whoa.
From a lightning strike that hit, like it was probably like 40 yards away from us. It was
insane,
crazy, dude. And I don't know if that like it may or may not have informed where I'm at today, but it seems kind of like a sign either way, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty insane.
Crazy. Yeah, I forget that happens sometimes.
You have to remind yourself, humble yourself.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
Dang. Well, moving past that lightning onto the current day lightning.
Yeah.
Have you had any experiences with lightning in your? Is this like a constant throughout your whole life? Has this been like you're walking down the street, a guy gets struck by lightning like every time you exit, and it's raining?
It's like when it's raining I feel like I should stay out of it, you know, like maybe I don't have any like metal rods in my body yet, so you know, maybe I'll be good until then, but at that point I should probably start looking out as soon as I break my leg climbing, you know, knock on wood.
It's coming. It's always
I know, right? Yeah, every day is a new possibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you had any good like outdoor experiences in your current age, you know? We'll say like the last like 2 or 3 years. Have you gotten out there? I know you live in the Big Apple now, but besides that.
Yeah, I've been very city dweller lately in the last few years. I still go back to Texas to see my friends and stuff like that every once in a while. I really do miss like going to Lake Travis and like cliff jumping off in Austin and stuff like that. One big outdoor experience that I really enjoyed was I recently went to a realism workshop for airbrushing. And it was in South Carolina, which is like, it's coming to mind because it's probably the most rural thing I've done in the last like 5 years. And I would just go like walk around the woods. And like that was just like so chill for me because I was having such a hard time at the class. Realism for me is like, you know, like trying to do math for me, which is also I'm very bad at.
Oh yeah, me too. Not a math. That's why I have a podcast. I'm not a math guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, I try to stay as far away from that as possible. And you know, I had some extra time and money a couple of years ago, or I guess maybe this was just last year. And yeah, I decided to go for it. It was this dude, Drew Blair. He's like kind of like the Bob Ross of airbrushing. He's a really awesome instructor, really nice guy. And yeah, he helped me do some realism out there, but he teaches out of his ancestral town of Blair, South Carolina, which is actually, I guess, his namesake, like his family's namesake, which is crazy. So it's just like this little town where like he's just kind of related to everybody, like his cousins are down the street and his like aunt and uncle are around, like it's so wild. But yeah, it was just really cool being out there like in the woods and just hanging out while I was stressing out airbrushing.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Reconnect with nature, airbrush.
Yeah, for real. Yeah,
very important.
Yeah,
things.
A little hybrid there. Yeah, it was good to like get out of the city and do it a little bit.
Nice, man. Then final question in this tree section, which I didn't ask you. I usually ask if you want to start with trees or nylon. I kind of just force that upon you. But
Okay, whatever. Yeah, nice.
My show, I can do whatever I want. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
My show. do you have anything in the future? Anything you'd like to go do? Anything you'd like to see? Hikes you want to go on? Places you want to go?
Oh, man. I really want to climb outdoors more. I feel like I'm not like super strong as far as outdoor climbing. I know like a V8 in your gym can be a V1 outdoors, you know, something like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I've always been working up to it, and I've climbed a little bit outdoors, like at Central Park and stuff. They have a couple of routes, which is cool, but I haven't really done too many trips where it's like climbing specific, where it's like, you know, you're camping for a couple of days and you're going out and climbing. Like I feel like I'm constantly injured when I'm climbing, so you know, maybe the day will come where I'm like feeling finally strong enough to really get into it. But you know, doing something like that, actually that's why I kind of brought up Austin, because at Lake Travis apparently they have like the best like deep water soloing in America that's like natural. And I used to live in Austin for a long time. And I wish that I was into climbing then too, because I could have taken advantage of that, which that seems so sick. And
that sounds awesome.
Especially back then when I lived there, I feel like there were way less like droughts. Whereas like, I think Lake Travis is very like low now, almost to where it would be like too dangerous to deep water climb there. Mm. But something like that, like there's no like, I mean, this isn't very like a natural features or anything, but I really do want to do deep water soloing somewhere. Like, you know, they have those big crazy places in like Germany and shit that have like 60-foot walls that go like into overhang into like a 30-foot deep pool. Like that sounds so fun to me, man. Just going like far as you possibly can and then just dropping off.
Not having to worry about the fall. Well, I guess you still have to.
Yeah.
You still have to pencil dive, but
yeah. It's like perfect. It's like my two favorite things. I love like jumping off cliffs and climbing. So it's like perfect. Yeah. Well, I think I used to a lot more when I was a little bit younger, but
as a skater,
I still got
you.
It in me. Yeah, exactly. Still have to scratch that itch every once in a while.
Yeah, the adrenaline junkie. I've always wondered about like deep water climbing and all that. Do your shoes just get wet and you're okay with it? Does that affect the climb at all? Or
I know it must, right? I guess what people would do, I mean, I obviously don't know that much, but I guess what people would do is probably just bring a couple pairs and just hope that they don't, you know,
fall in too many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, depending, you know, on site, I'm sure a lot of the like more, you know, known and like super sponsored climbers probably have like, you know, like heaters and shit that like dry their shoes off, or they, you know, do one hard climb and then wait for a little bit, or
yeah.
I'm not sure. I still need to get more into that world. You know, I need to join up with people who go out and do that.
Yeah. I don't. Maybe I will one day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. One day.
I don't think I'm that good that I could even attempt to start that, but,
I know. Right. Day. It seems so crazy. Yeah. As long as it was on like an easier climb, I feel like I could rock it.
Yeah. Hey, that's the confidence we need. That's
exactly,
all you need.
Exactly, right?
Rock up to the wall, start and just drop.
Yeah. Just test it out, you know, fall about 80 times, belly flop. I'm no stranger to that.
Try a different dive, do a cannonball.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Nice.
That's like, it's all the most fun things, all in one thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I believe we can move on to the nylon section now, because now there are formally sections in the podcast. So
nice. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's I've only been doing this for almost 100 episodes, but
dude, that's awesome. Yeah. I was going to ask you how many episodes there's been.
I think this is going to be 85.
Nice. Okay.
It needs to be 85. Yeah. This year to go into trees and nylon lore a little bit, this was a little, I didn't do as many. The first year I did it, I did one every week and I barely missed one. Last year I faltered. Oh man, probably a lot. Wait, when did this podcast start? One moment. I'm not sure if I started in 2021 or 22. Let me see. Scroll back. 2021. Wow. So yeah, I think I was really diligent in 2021. And then 22, no, I was pretty good. I think it was just this year that I really fell off, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Now it's time for the comeback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a job and I'm in school still. I'm doing my MBA. So I'm trying to balance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm trying to balance the school, the job, this, along with, you know, still bouldering, still camping, still, you know, spending time with family and friends and all that. So it's a lot, but school's out right now. So I have more time. I can do the podcast.
Yeah. You're on break right now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone's got at least two more episodes before you get like a month of silence from me for no reason. Or actually for a good reason, but unannounced, I should say.
Yeah. Chilling with family, relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, let's talk about you. Enough about me.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you got started dressing, caring about clothes.
Well, that is actually a great question, because I feel like as far as, you know, fashion and kind of the whole like Gorp core movement, all that thing was really just like it's kind of like a symptom of what I was getting into, which was like airbrushing on clothes and stuff like that. Like, I was never super into fashion. I always just kind of, you know, would wear like one pair of like Dickies or like Carhartts for like as long as I could, until they started getting holes everywhere. And then I'd be like, okay, what's the next one? You know, like I keep it really simple. I mean, I'm kind of in my studio gear right now, as you can see.
Yeah. It looks like, you know,
thanks. Yeah. Maybe I'll raffle off some studio gear soon.
Some studio gear. I personally think that there's nothing cooler than like actually worn garments like that, like paint splattered or like torn a little bit, tattered, like well worn.
Oh my god, isn't that so fucking crazy how that's like it's a trend that's reached, like that's been diluted down into like Walmart and stuff like that. Have you seen that? I guess it's like a meme at this point, but like there's just like jeans that have like, it must be screen printed, I guess, like paint splatters and like layers.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, you know, like the more like couture brands or whatever were doing that a while ago, which is, you know, just as silly, if not more silly than Walmart.
Absolutely.
Doing it. Yeah. But like, yeah, that trend is so wild. And I guess it's not really a trend now. It's just, it's been around for a while.
Yeah,
and
it's like a whole style, or it's a part of
it. It blows
part of
my
style.
Mind. It's, yeah, it's like, oh, I should just be painting more and just be selling these.
Well, yeah. And here's
the
thing.
Lightning.
Fuck the lightning, bro. I think it comes off when I see other brands do it. Like, it seems like something Gucci would do or Balenciaga would do. It just,
right.
It comes off as disingenuous because it's almost like stolen valor, basically. Because the people who are buying that probably aren't actually doing that work. You know what I mean?
Yes. I need to do that. Next time I see somebody on the train with those stupid ass shoes, I need to be like, where did you serve?
Yeah.
How long were you in the studio for today?
Yeah, it just seems wrong. But then you see, like, I go to this this Mexican spot by my house that it's like, it's only Mexican clientele basically that are there. It used to be in a gas station. They finally bought it. It's a nice story, but anyway, they make really good tacos. Every time I go in all the painters on break are there, and all the like landscapers on break are there. They're wearing just like Detroit jackets, like the Carhartt Detroit jackets and like Dickies and all that with paint. I'm like, these guys don't know how cool that looks to me.
They're sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a $500 jacket on if you were to resell it right now, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. They need to move to New York and go to NYU, and then they'll just be fucking chilling.
For real, bro. I just think that's so funny, especially in this scene of like, you know, the more outdoorsy stuff, like people that like things my dad wears. I'm like, that's actually pretty cool. And I would never say that if I was still in my like hype beast era, you know?
Oh yeah. A lot of that shit's coming back. Like the Bean, the fucking LL Bean, dude. People love that. I mean, I feel like it's kind of always been in the periphery, like especially in New York, like with the Timberland, like broccoli beefs. Like I feel like that's kind of been like a dad kind of attire that's always been in the fashion world. Or at least in New York, as far as people, you know, rocking boots and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that whole entire like 70s pictures of your dad aesthetic are definitely coming back.
Yeah. And I mean, even back in, 2018, 17, whenever Yeezy released the Wave Rider, and that shoe became huge because that was like the dad shoe. And then all those like Nike released the Air Monarchs and did like collabs with them and stuff with
those Monarchs brand, I can't remember, going crazy.
Yeah, but the whole dad, and then Balenciaga did their thing. So I just feel like it's interesting where people take inspiration from in fashion.
Yeah, it's insane. Oh yeah, these, I just looked up the Wave Runners. Yeah, man, I still see these everywhere, dude. Mm. I was wondering about these. I knew they were Yeezys. Like, see, it shows how much I know, like, about fashion and shit. But yeah, I seen those and I was like, damn, they look like I would rather rock the Monarchs like any day, probably.
Yeah, I think I never really liked the Wave Runners. I never bought a pair of Yeezys. I never really got the hype. I thought they were kind of an ugly silhouette, but I could like understand why people liked them. It's kind of like I would never buy and wear Rick Owens, but I understand the appeal. That makes sense.
Right.
It's kind of that same.
Well, you don't want to get those fucking clown shoes?
No, I don't.
Big tall clown boots.
No, I don't think I want the clown boots. I don't think I could wear like the diaper pants or the really low V-neck t-shirts that they make. But I can understand why people like it, and the people that wear it, I don't think look that bad.
Yeah, they're all right.
Okay, Rick Owens is just okay, you know.
Yeah, it's all good. I love the aesthetic. Everybody's a Playboy Cardi vampire now.
Yeah, that's what's going on. I don't know, how do you feel about Playboy Cardi? I feel like I've fallen out of grace with him.
I feel like I was way more into him like a few years ago, but you know, I always like will keep up with him every once in a while just to like see what he's getting into now, and he's just getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'm kind of all for it. Like the more like a performer celebrity can kind of like delve into madness, that's where I'm more interested.
Dude, you must love Lil Uzi then.
Oh yeah,
he's got the diamond on the forehead, and
I was loving the updates for that. I saw that he had to get it removed because it got infected or something like that.
Yeah,
which that's like brutal. Like even just getting that done must have been insanely painful. And then that thing was fat. That would probably be like weighing your head down.
How do you remember how much it costs? Wait, I can Google it real quick.
Dude, I think it was $28 million. And I know that because I actually looked it up, I think, myself, when he did it. I was like, what the
diamond
fuck?
Forehead.
Yeah, it was like some astronomical amount of money.
24 mil.
24 million, yeah. Crazy.
Wow. 10, almost 11 carat diamond implanted in his forehead.
So wild.
That is just insane. He's a funny guy, though. I like Lil Uzi. I think he's cute, you know?
Yeah. He's so cute.
He does cute things, you know? He showed up at a wedding in New York. It was just like an Arab wedding. He just like showed up and started dancing and singing with everyone. He saw his videos.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's done that. The first time he's done that either. He's done that before.
Yeah.
Just things like that.
And he had to have known those people, right?
Yeah. I assume. Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he is who he is. He could probably just pull up to any wedding and be like, what's up? Can I hang out here for a little bit?
Yeah, like, hell yeah.
What's y'all's vibe? Yeah. He's definitely welcome with open arms.
Absolutely. Hey, Uzi, you can come to my wedding whenever, man.
Yeah.
I'll send you
Uzi. Don't know I'm getting married, but hit me up.
Yeah. We'll put him on retainer for when the wedding does happen.
Yeah. Exactly. For sure.
Nice. Well, tell me, man, I forget where this conversation was even. How did it even start?
You asked me how I was getting into like fashion and stuff like that.
We're still there.
Yeah.
I think you answered it. I think we can move on. I think you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it was really like, it was nothing I was ever into, like, especially coming from like, you know, like the art background that I did and like skateboarding. I always felt like, you know, being like too into fashion or making it too like much a part of your life was kind of like, not pretentious, but just like something that I was just kind of like,
that's good. Eh.
Yeah, I guess that's a word. Yeah. I was just like, it was just like not really like what I was into. So it's kind of nice to be like an outsider, you know, getting into this, because it makes me kind of not like focus on what the trends are, like what people are like into or what's going on. It just kind of, you know, as good as that might be for my own personal, you know, like marketing and shit, but like, I think it's nice to just kind of not really be worried about that and just kind of do whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a healthy way to look at it too. Not caring too much about the clothing aspect of it. I like that.
Yeah.
Or the brands, I guess, the style.
It keeps a lot of money in my pocket too.
Keeps money in your pocket. And
I'm not spending a ton of money on clothes.
You get to make your own style, like away from all the trends. You're not giving in to, you know, like what everyone's wearing. You can become a Playboy Cardi of yourself, you know?
Yes, exactly, dude.
That's the goal.
That's a good thing to say, dude. That's dangerous, though. Next time you see me, I'll be fucking like
vamped out.
Hoodie on fucking vampire.
Yeah. Get the face tats. Look at you, super skinny jeans.
Yeah. I'm going to get a portrait of Playboy Cardi's face on my face.
Wow. That's avant-garde
genius.
Of you.
Next trend.
Yeah, a full face tattoo of someone else's face.
Yep.
That's
sick,
gonna
look just like him.
Nice, dude. Well, obviously, besides what you're planning on with that Playboy Cardi face, what else are you into these days? Any like brands you're rocking with or styles or anything?
Really, like anything that like I said, I'm pretty simple. I'm usually just like, I have like a pair of Dickies on, and then like my one or two like Arc'teryx or like North Face jackets that I have. And then I'm just, I mean, it's cold out here right now too. I'm sure it's probably cold there, but yeah,
probably
I'm just
not
like,
New York cold, but yeah, it is chilly.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have like a uniform, you know, like it's really easy to spot me if you know what I look like, you know, like, all right, gray hair is one, duh. But then like, okay, just like black jacket, you know, black pants, black shoes, like, oh yeah, there's Travis. There he is.
It's very utilitarian, you know?
Yeah, I like to, because I feel like also like when I find something that I like with clothes, I feel like it becomes like, I get like, oh, what do I look like if I change, you know, too much? I'm like, like especially pants. I feel like this is like a guy thing, but it's like the way your pants like sit on your shoes. Maybe that's like a form of OCD, like manifesting itself in my brain, but like, I just like to like wear one thing into the ground, and then I'm just like, okay, what's the next thing, you know?
No, I mean, that is a very common, for men who are into fashion, it's a very common struggle of finding a perfect pair of pants that sit that are the right length and the right width, and they feel right on you. Like, it's a Sisyphean task, you know?
Trying to find that. And then it's like, I'm not trying to look like, you know, contrary to where I'm wearing right now, because I'm going to be painting in a little bit, but like, I'm trying not to look like so like, you know, ooh, painter. Did you just come from the studio? Like guy like that, you know? So I'm trying to wear more clothes that, you know, look a little nicer these days. Don't have as much fucking paint on them and shit. But like I said, when I find something I like so much, I'll just wear it every day. And I have to remind myself when I go to the studio, like I'm wearing like completely clean clothes. And then it's like, I'll get like a ton of paint on the thing that I really like. And I'm like, well, I guess this is just like this now. Like, I'm not going to not wear these anymore. Like,
yeah,
I guess these are just studio clothes now.
Yeah. Well, that is,
yeah, that's, I got to go upstairs and change.
That's the trouble of it, you know, wanting to wear nice clothes, but also being a painter for a living, probably.
I know, man, it's crazy. And I'm too lazy to change, you know,
I'm just going to
keep rocking my same shit.
Clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very,
shows
like,
more that I love the piece, you know?
Yeah. It's like, that's my mentality with clothing also, of there's some clothes that I wear that I'm like, I can't get this dirty ever.
Yeah. And, oh yeah.
But the other ones where like, if it's not like a nice, like a date clothing, you know, then it's that,
yes,
my mentality is it's clothing, whatever happens, happens. If it gets a stain, if it gets like, if I spill oil on it when I'm cooking or whatever, I'm like, yeah, it's character now, you know?
Yeah. 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 It's just more me. It's more unique.
Exactly. I'm not afraid to wear it out with all the little blemishes on it.
Exactly. Like it's your own personalized piece at that point, you know?
There you go. That's beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, get some, you know, cooking oil on some clothes, start selling it, you know?
Pour boiling oil
trees
on
oil.
A sweater. Trees and oil. Beautiful. that's a good idea. I should start making some olive oil.
Dude.
I'm a big olive oil guy. I'm huge into that.
Oh shit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That is a new venture right there.
Oh yeah?
I think you should do that.
Yeah. Do you cook a lot in New York?
It.
I know it's
either,
you never cook.
I love cooking.
Okay.
I'm a big fan. But I feel like it's hard for me to cook all the time. I kind of just try to, like, I feel like, cause I'm like trying to be like all healthy during the week. I'm like super weekend warrior. So I'm trying to be all good to myself during the week. And I'll just like find some random recipe where I can like meal prep it and just not have to cook the rest of the week.
That's nice.
Or like if I'm with my girl or something, like I love cooking for her. So I'll always like cook this, like,
by
steak
the way.
Or something. Oh yeah. Girlfriend. Woo! but yeah, no, it's chill. Like I'll always try to find some like weird recipe that I haven't done before. Like my favorite things to make though, like especially when it's winter, this is probably not unique, but I love making chicken noodle soup.
Oh, that's,
like
that's
from
nice.
Scratch. I
that's
love
very
doing that. I have a big pot of it in my refrigerator right now. So good. Or making some chili. Love
nothing
chili.
Like good
dude.
Winter chili.
Oh man. Yeah. I feel like in Texas, you know, that's kind of a year round food.
Yeah.
But out here, I feel like people don't eat chili as much. They don't know where the good chili's at. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean,
tell them to come to me.
I grew up down south. So the chili, my mom always makes chili on Halloween of all times. So it's like a Halloween tradition that she would invite some friends over. We just have chili at the house. So
I love that.
The chili train.
That's equally as wholesome as a chicken noodle soup. I love that.
Yeah. But that's,
you
know,
make some cornbread.
Oh yeah, cornbread too, of course.
Oh yeah, gotta have the cornbread. Or the Frito pie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, dude, the most diabolical is having the Frito pie with the cornbread on the side. That's the way to go.
That's that Texas living right there.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, gotta load up.
Hell yeah. My friend just recently, actually, he's gonna drive me insane. So I've been telling him for like the past year. He's my roommate also, not just my friend. So we live together and I bought this expensive olive oil and I was like, hey, this and like expensive salt or like, you know, not just like public salt, like this will change your cooking game. You just need like, you spend like $2-3 more on olive oil or like maybe like five if you're getting some really expensive stuff. But you spend a little bit more on the oil, spend a little bit more on the salt, it'll change everything. And I've been saying that for like a year, and I'm only using, I use the expensive stuff. He bought his own like 2 gallons of it from Walmart, right? And he'll use that. And then one time I told him to just use my stuff for one of his chicken recipes. And he's like, dude, this really changes everything. It's like, you.
Damn. You know.
And then.
Now you got him hooked. You said first try is free. Next try is going to cost you.
It's going to cost you. Here's the cherry on top of it. That was like a few months ago. Then he comes to me and he says, hey, Trees, guess what? I was watching this YouTuber and he said that expensive olive oil really upgrades your cooking. So I think I'm going to buy some. It's like, what was that? What did you say to me? Are you serious?
Are you talking like that?
Are you serious? So I put you on so long ago. And anyway, so
he's
done that a couple times. And I've been telling him to buy clothes from Uniqlo. And I feel like a year from now, I'm going to get a text from him saying, oh, dude, have you heard of Uniqlo? It's actually really awesome. I heard a YouTuber
talking
about it.
Somebody made a TikTok about how, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm going to.
They got some good basics down there at Uniqlo, man.
Yeah. I am wearing Uniqlo right now.
This is thermals. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, I go to Costco for thermals. I get that 32 heat.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I haven't been to Costco in so long. That place is a jam.
Oh, yeah. I was just there yesterday.
Samples.
Samples. Picking up 30 pounds of raw chicken to cook.
Yes, dude. Man, I need it. I need a Costco closer to me here.
Yeah.
That would really help me out.
I don't think New York is very conducive for a Costco, like the warehouse model.
Yeah, I probably got to go to Jersey or something like that. I don't even know where one is around here.
I don't either. All I know is I got three in either direction of me if I drive for 20 minutes.
Damn, that rules. That's so sick.
Yeah. But anyway, enough about Costco and good cooking. Tell me about what you're going to wear 4 years from now.
Oh, my God. What I'm going to wear 4 years from now?
Yeah. What do you think's on the docket?
Oh, man. Well, I've been trying to, now that I've kind of fallen ass backwards kind of into the fashion world more and living in New York, there's a lot of people who are like, who I've gotten to know who are like really, really dedicated to, making their own brands and, kind of breaking more into that world. And I feel like I've been trying to support them a little bit more. So, hopefully like just some nice pants. My homie, he runs Randy's Garments in New York. Check him out. He makes a great pair of work pants and he does them like treated canvas where they're kind of waterproof. I've been rocking those. I'll probably have a couple pairs of those on me.
Nice.
And, really like probably just something destroyed with paint. I love these Champion hoodies. I have like 5 of these Champion hoodies. They're all crushed.
Are those the reverse weave?
I'm not sure. I've had this one for like a year or two. I feel like I got it at like a Modell's out here, like a little sports store, and just like chilled on it. And then after that, I just like went online and got like 4 more of them. But yeah, probably some work pants, crushed hoodie, and then some my fucking little dock boots I got.
Nice. Keeping it simple.
Keeping it real simple. Yeah. If I get too crazy with it, it gives me like anxiety. I'm like, I don't want to be perceived, So I try to like dress as neutral as possible.
That's very, very artist of you. I want my art to stand out. I don't want to be perceived.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for real.
And speaking of the pieces, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
I've got a few questions for you, actually. What is your favorite piece you've ever done and your least favorite?
Oh, man. That's tough. I feel like they're kind of like kids, you can't pick out a least favorite one.
Yeah.
It really just like it for me with airbrushing and stuff, it all really depends on like the material. So whatever material is the most welcoming to airbrushing, I feel like that's what I'm most down for. My favorite stuff to work on is probably like Carhartt stuff because it's like heavy. It's basically like painting on a canvas.
Yeah, it's like canvas material. That's what I was going to say.
Carhartt, work jackets, that type of stuff is probably my favorite. But, I probably don't really have a least favorite, though.
Wow.
Like it's all great to work on for me. Like if I can put paint on it, then I'll fucking rock it for sure.
Okay. Cool. Hey, that's very positive. You're a very positive guy. It's a very positive answer.
Yeah, man. Try to be as positive as possible, right?
That's wonderful. We need that. We need more of that. I'm a bit of a hater sometimes, so it's nice to be around someone who's positive.
Hell yeah. I love it. That's good. We compliment each other.
So we know that Drake is your close personal friend because he bought directly from you off of Instagram. He messaged you, said, "Hey, Trav, I'm going to need a jacket. Could you tell me how that story actually went? Like, how did that go?"
Yeah, man, it was crazy. It was kind of like a fateful happening in my mind. I had a reseller homie of mine. We're now homies. I didn't know him at the time. He just hit me up and he was like, "Yo, like, stuff is awesome. Like, I have a big store on Grailed. Like, do you mind? Would it be cool if I tried to resell some of your stuff?" And he was upfront with me about it. So I was like, "Yeah, for sure." Like, because I've had people before him, and this was even like probably a couple of years ago now at this point, where I've had people where I've made stuff for them and then they would turn around and sell it on their site and then like not credit me, kind of, you know, whether implying or being directly saying that it was theirs, which is nuts. And like that really like put me off of the reseller thing for a while.
Yeah.
But when this dude hit me up and he was like, you know, being upfront and cool about it, I was like, "Yeah, bet, like for sure. Like, you know, just credit me, say that it's mine, obviously. And, you know, it'd probably get you more money since like at the time I was kind of getting a little bit of recognition from it already with Arc'teryx and stuff." So he was like, "Yeah, for sure." Like, so I think I did like a pair of pants for him and a jacket. And I did this like electric blue on it, right? So because he was a reseller and I didn't really know him, I feel like I was kind of like taking a minute to like kind of vet him. Like, I feel like it took me a while to make it for him because I was kind of like, you know, still a little put off by the whole reseller thing.
Understandably.
And it was still pretty early like in my like career with this stuff. So like, I didn't really know like how to correctly go about it. So when I did finally make it for him, I think it was like 3 months later or something. I took forever.
Wow.
And he was cool about it the whole time. I was like, "Yo, sorry, it's taking forever, blah, blah, blah." Like, I feel like I'm still really bad at being my own boss, but you know, anyway, I made it for him and he was like, "Cool, thanks." You know, like I was like, "For sure." 3 months later or so, I was just hanging out. I remember it was on a Sunday cause I was just chilling, like not really doing shit. And, bunch of people started hitting me up, like my phone was blowing up, and they're like, "Yo, is this you? Is this you? Is this you?" And it was Drake wearing this jacket at, I can't remember exactly which festival, but it was in Montreal. And I was like, "Damn, that's fucking sick." Like anybody could have done that, you know? Like, I'm plenty of other companies without my influence have made like all over print lightning jackets, I'm sure. I mean, and others with my influence, you know, I'm not saying, you know, biting or whatever, but you know, that was happening a lot at the time. So I was like, "Damn, you know, maybe that could be anybody. Like, he could have just gotten that off something, or like a brand could have blessed him with that or something."
Yeah.
And so I looked at it and I was like, I was getting screenshots of it and I was like, you know, like doing the CSI thing.
You had the red tape up on the wall.
yeah. And I was like, "Okay, so this bolt goes this way and that one goes that way. Like, oh, I think this is mine. I'm pretty sure this is mine." And I was like, "Who the fuck, like, how did he get this?" Cause it was like removed. It wasn't like from me. And I was like, "Damn, like maybe this is that guy." And I hit that dude up and I was like, "Yo, like, I'm pretty sure you sold a jacket to Drake, dude." And like, he's like, "Yeah." Like, it took him like, you know, like an hour to get back to me, like pretty quickly. And he was just like, "Oh yeah. Like I sell to Drake's stylist all the time, but, yeah, I just didn't think it was for him." And I was like, "Yo, what?
That's crazy.
Like, you gotta tell me that shit, man." That, I mean, I didn't mind that he didn't, but I was like, "Damn, that's like, that seems like that would be like a crazier detail." I'd be like, "Yo, hey, your jacket just sold to Drake's stylist."
Yeah, but I mean,
it was nice the way it worked out. Like, it was a cool surprise, I think. But then like after that, I was like, "Yo, like, let's, you know, like kind of make this like go, you know, more together. Let's kind of, you know, get rid of the degrees of separation, you know?" So I was trying to holler at them. And I think their team actually reached out to me instead of me actually getting in touch with them. But they ended up having me do like, I think it was 25 of their Nocta jackets for them, where they ended up seeding them to people for Paris Fashion Week. That is
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, so I think they're either I'm not sure if they're getting rid of them now or if they they're holding on to them waiting for another fashion week in Paris, because I think there's like there's like three or four of them a year in Paris. Yeah. So yeah, so I think that they're seeding them out to like influencers and stuff for that. And so that was a really sick opportunity. I was hyped that they did that.
Yeah, that is so cool, man.
Yeah, it was
great. You're on the hotline now for them if they need some custom jackets. That's a pretty cool place to be.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we can get something else going in the future with them. It'd be sick.
Hell yeah. And I know
they're always looking for the next thing.
I don't know if you've ever connected with Rob Boyd. You know who that is? In the UK. He also works on the Nocta team. So I don't know if he might have heard of you or seen you, or I don't know if he's spoken directly, but he's someone else who I want to come on the pod. He's an elusive man.
Oh yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'd have to see, like, I don't know if we've talked specifically, maybe through email. I'd have to check, but yeah, dude, maybe I could hook you guys up.
I'm not asking for you to ask him to come on. I'm saying he might be a good reference for you to have to talk to if you're trying to collaborative work. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. But hey, you never know. I mean, maybe we could get him on the pod soon. Dude.
Hey, maybe Drake on the pod. That's next after him.
Drake on the pod. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next guest for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone, it's going to be John Mayer than Drake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, dude. The duo.
Yeah.
Powerful
duo. They should come on the same time. That'd actually be pretty cool. Let's get them on the same time.
Yeah, that'd be a fun podcast.
Yeah, man. I'm sure I would, that would blow know up how to read sure. that room. Yeah, I could do really well in that situation. Exactly.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Anyway, who is a designer, or what's like a piece, you can answer both actually, that you want to work with slash on? So like, who's a designer you want to work with? Or like a artist you want to work with or something, or for, and then what's like a type of piece? Like, you've done jackets, you've done the vest, pants. What's like another type of piece you think you'd want to work on? Dream. What's a dream? Man.
Really a dream. This is kind of just because they're, I wouldn't say playing so hard to get, but it's just because I haven't heard from them or anything. Like, I really want to work with Carhartt. Oh, yeah. Just because, like I was saying earlier, their clothes like translate so well to be worked on with airbrush. And while I've done like a lot of collabs where they use like Dickies material, Carhartt, you know, that kind of like duck canvas material, I've never like done like anything official with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that, you know, as far as, or even like Carhartt Whip, I know they're not the same company or owned by the same people or whatever, but either of those, that would be really sick for me, I think. You know, any brand that's kind of like, also because it's like, really, I just wear like Arc'teryx, North Face, or like Carhartts. That's pretty much where I'm at as far as my own fashion choices. So like, it would definitely be like hit the most home for me. Like, I think personally, if I were able to work on some of their stuff.
Yeah. Cause you've already worked with Arc'teryx. So you've had that.
Yeah.
That's been checked off.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The outdoor companies kind of gotten those going, and now like the workwear companies, that's what I'm going for now.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Carhartt, holler at me. Let me know.
They tune in. CEO of Carhartt is listening in every episode. Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for me? Cause I think I'm out of questions for you. You don't have to.
Oh, also, word.
I'm supposed to be the interviewer, but I always ask at the end.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, how long you've been doing this, you know, you said a couple years since 2021.
Yeah. In like August of 2021 is when I published the first episode. Or I think it was September. Yeah. September. Yeah.
That's awesome. What made you like actually start? Because I feel like a lot of people have always entertained the idea of, you know, like, oh, that would be a funny idea for a podcast. Like, I think a couple days ago I was like in the sauna at my gym, and I was just talking to some dudes in there, and we were just shooting the shit, talking whatever. And one of them was like, oh yeah, that would actually be a good idea for a podcast. And it's just like three dudes sitting in a sauna just talking shit.
Well, what
happened? I was like, oh, whoa. Like,
What happened to me was that I woke up one day and I realized that the world didn't have enough 20-something-year-old white male podcasters, and I really needed to fill that void.
Right. So right, yeah.
No, I've always been into like making media of some sort. Like I made videos as a kid growing up. I would do these like first person shooter videos where I'd take Nerf guns and I would take my iPhone 3 and put it like right here on my forehead, and I would put my sister's headbands around it. So it was like squishing my nose like that. And we do, and then I edit it on my phone and make like little videos and put the gun effects in and all that.
Damn,
so I
was always, that's sick.
It was fun. They're so lost to time at this point. I should have uploaded them to YouTube, but
yeah,
I would do stuff like that growing up. And then I started doing like whenever I'd go on a trip with my family, I'd like make a video of that trip to remember it. And then I started making comedy videos in high school. And then I started doing a podcast in high school and college just like for fun, because it was like the next thing to do and it was less effort than filming a full video. And I always had the experience with it. And then when I got into this whole scene back in 2020, when like the whole GORP scene on Instagram blew up, I was like, there's all these people, but they all live in the UK, basically. Like most everyone is in the UK. And I was like, I'll never meet these people. I have met some of them now, which is really cool. But I was like, there's a very low chance I'll meet these people in real life. Why not try to message them and see if I can talk to them virtually and, you know, see what comes of that.
Bridge the gap a little bit.
Yeah, basically just like have a real conversation with someone that I would otherwise probably would never talk to. So that was the inspiration. Right. And now here I am.
Damn, that's awesome. Yeah, thank now you, here we are. That's sick.
Here we are. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done a couple of like interviews on podcasts and stuff myself. And it's nice because it's like, oh, even if I never do one myself, it's kind of like I'm living vicariously through myself.
You live your podcast dreams.
These.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's nice.
Nice, dude. I mean, hey, start one. That's the thing is like everyone, it's like even with my buddies, we'll be playing a video game. And we'll be thinking, you know, oh, we're really funny. Like we should make a YouTube channel and like upload when we play games. Like everyone says that, but it's like 1% of people that actually do it. And then there's like 0.1% of those people that make money off of it. So you just got to try.
Right.
And I'm sure as an artist, that's something that you're all too familiar with. You just got to try.
Yeah. Just fucking throw stuff at the wall, see whatever sticks, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to make money off of this. That would be cool, but...
Yeah, it's, you never know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Got to get in on that that Patreon game.
Yeah, I had one for a while. Back when I was just in school and I didn't have a job yet, I was doing like a whole separate podcast where I just bring a guest on that's already been on before and I ask him more like personal questions. So like this is more of like get to know you, and then the the Patreon was called Fireside Chats, and those were like we're already friends. Let's just have a chat instead of getting to know each other. And it was fun, but it was really hard to schedule people to come on and then edit and all that. Especially now that I have a job, it's like basically impossible unless I gave up other things in my life that I didn't want to give up, like quality time with family and friends and all that. So whatever, maybe one day it'll come back if this ever makes more money. Yeah. So yeah.
Hey, yeah, man. Well, it's good that you're working to supplement that while you're chasing the podcast dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you working now? What are you doing?
I am a market research analyst.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fancy words. It's got the word analyst in there, so you know it's fancy.
Yeah. Nice. That sounds fun. Yeah.
It's a lot more creative. I could not just sit on Excel all day. So it's nice to be able to have some creativity in my job.
Yeah. Like kind of like a goal to, you know, be able to go out of just Excel.
Yeah. And
I've had a just Excel job before and it was a nightmare, dude. It was years ago and I was working for kind of a similar level of interest in company. Like it was an auto glass company. Mm. And this was when I was living in California in Oakland. And I was basically just doing like data entry, but also like accounting for parts. Yeah. Accounting for parts that all the like 14 shops across the United States would have. And like if something was fucked up, like I would have to like yell at them basically, which is not my not who I am at all. Yeah. And it was just like happened to be down the street from me. And I was just like, I need money. I need a big boy, regular guy job.
Yeah.
And I did that for like 6 months to a year and very quickly realized like, yeah, this is not for me. Like, at least there wasn't for me. I'm not saying like, oh, I can't do an office job or whatever, but
some people can. Like, that's fine. Some people
can. Yeah. Cause while my, you know, my art's been paying the bills the last couple of years and I'm like extremely thankful for that. It's definitely helped me be like, you know, a little too comfortable. So I'm trying to like, you know, get back in there to be like, hey, I've been running my own business for 3 years. Like, why don't you give me a cool job now?
Yeah.
I feel like before, like, you know, I had stuff on my resume that was always, you know, like I could go back into doing an office job. But while I was here a lot, I was just doing a lot of like art handling, set, you know, production workers, stuff like that. A lot of manual labor, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And like, while that's great and I enjoyed the manual labor aspect of it, they just don't pay well enough. So
yeah,
it's like, yeah, like I needed something else. And, I live by myself in New York, which is also awesome. I'm so hyped to not have roommates, but it's so expensive here that I'm like, you know what? Maybe I do have a little time. Maybe I do have enough time to, you know, have like a normal job again. And, you know, whether it be something that's like design or, you know, artistic that, you know, I'm really actually into,
yeah,
you know, I would, you know, I'm not mad at, you know, doing another office job as long as it's in like the arts sector, because that's always where I've worked here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's my, I think for me, what I found is that since I do enjoy doing like the description, like the job that,
right,
I could do it for anyone. It would be cool to do it for like a company that I'm super interested in. Like if I could do it for Delta, that'd be awesome. Get some flight benefits.
Oh, yeah.
You kidding me?
Come on. I know, right? Yeah.
my dad's a pilot for Delta. So I grew up with those.
Oh, wow.
And then, when I turned 24, I lost them all.
Okay,
so
I was going
to
ask.
Get those
yeah,
back.
Where's the cutoff there? It's like insurance on your family's insurance.
It is,
like,
yeah.
When sorry, buddy.
Get married, graduate college, or turn 24. That's when you lose them.
Damn.
Oh, wait, you have to meet two of them. So I'd graduated and then I turned 24. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had them for a while, but.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Those
so I'm trying to get those back.
Miles, they really, yeah, those
oh,
really
yeah.
come in handy.
I mean, that was my whole like, childhood was like, we had to sit this weird September break or it's spring break or whatever. We are getting up at 5 a.m. We're getting on the first flight out. Because if you get on anything else except the first flight, you're not going to get on. And we're just going to go somewhere for a week, you know? And that was just my whole childhood.
Yeah, that's good, dude. I wish I had done more traveling when I was younger. But now I'm actually just kind of getting around to doing it more now that I've been doing the painting thing more often. Like,
yeah,
just went to Copenhagen this summer.
Oh, sick. Oh, I remember that. I remember
Copenhagen
seeing
the photos. Open.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big like skate event, which was crazy. And then, did the Paris Fashion Week thing out there where I was painting some stuff for Nike and Blondie Beach Records. It was pretty sick.
Nice, dude.
It was really sick. Yeah, it was just like a 2 week long party. So it was nice to get back home and relax for a little bit.
Nice. Well, if you ever want any travel recs, I've been around the block. And hey, don't sleep on the US either, because
there's
a lot of awesome places out here that my family spent a lot of time like trying to go to international places just because those are harder to get onto. And, you know, that's much more expensive to do when you're older, as I'm learning now.
Right.
But I'm not doing that. I'm rediscovering discovering the first time all the cool stuff in the US, you know, all the national parks, all the cities, everything that I didn't really do growing up. So it's fun.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Like I definitely have like destinations I want to hit. Like, I feel like I'm just so bad at planning. Like unless somebody else is like, hey, I'm going here, then I'm like too lazy. I'll just be like, okay, cool. Like I'll join somebody, but like doing my own thing, I'm like, ugh. Yeah, like I definitely want to, you know, now that I have this new hobby that hurts me all the time, I definitely want to go climbing in some different places. Like I know they even have good outdoor climbing in New York. That's not even like a flight. It's just like, you know, a little upstate.
Yeah. I had a guy on once who talked about, can't remember. It was like the blank. And I can't remember the name, what that word is, like the blanks. And I can't remember what the blank is.
The gunks.
Yes. He talked about the gunks. Yeah, I can't remember if that's climbing or if that's biking that he was talking about, but
yeah, it might be a little bit of both. I have a homie that goes there like every weekend.
Oh,
and
wow.
he loves it. He's always trying to get me to go. And I'm just like, oh, I'm too busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. Like there's not enough hours in the day for me to, you know, dick around on my phone and then also get a bunch of work done.
Yeah, there you go.
I feel like the way my my brain works with work and stuff, I'm like, oh, like I can do that. That'll take like 2 minutes. I'll knock that out so fast. Like I don't have to do it immediately. And then when it comes time when I'm actually doing it, I'm like, oh shit, this is like taking all day. Like, fuck, I'm an idiot. So then I feel like I never have enough time to like do, you know, leisurely stuff because I'm either being very leisurely and chilling as hard as humanly possible, or I'm in like manic, like psycho work mode, you know, I'm never like mixing the two, which actually help me a little bit, but
no, that honestly is good. Cause I definitely like, I have that kind of, I have that kind of brain where I said kite. You hear that?
Yeah.
I have that type of brain where even when I'm just sitting around doing nothing, I feel like I should be doing something. So I'm just like, I feel anxious or like guilty about it. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I definitely still feel that too.
Okay.
I just like, I put it way, way in the back of my head.
Yeah. Way in the back.
Ignore it as hard as I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Bottle it up and just like, don't tell anyone really about it.
Answer your emails, right? That's not hard.
No.
Yeah.
But you're just
I need an assistant. I've been told that many times because I'm always complaining about being bad at correspondence and, you know, yeah, keeping up with stuff and
yeah.
Like even just like the like whenever the like Drake thing or whenever I get like a boost from, you know, whatever like aggregator site or, you know, whatever it may be, I feel like I'll get kind of like fear of success type thing going on in my head where like I'll get a bunch of DMs. People are like, yo, I want this. I want this thing from you. I need this. Like, let's get this going. Blah, blah, blah. And like, I'll get like anxiety about like answering DMs. Cause even when it's like, I'll get so many and it's like the love is so sick and like awesome. And I appreciate it to no end, but then like, my brain will be like, this is a bad thing. This is bad. You know, like not necessarily like imposter syndrome? Bad. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe that is what it is. I think maybe I have like undiagnosed ADHD or something. And yeah, I just deal with everything. Like,
I think we all,
right.
To
yeah.
Some degree,
I just have like,
you know,
I just procrastinate like a motherfucker, man. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Like I'll put stuff off way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, maybe giving a little bit too much of a glimpse into the dumb way that I work, but you know, I'm getting better at it every day.
That's good. Hey, that's beautiful, man. Better every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I think that is all I got for you. Honestly, this has been a really nice chat, man.
Yeah, man, definitely. It's been good. I'm glad we got it going. Yeah, we've been following each other for a little bit, so it's good that we got that
and
going.
Shout out. Wait, who is it? Shout out to I Trap Plants on Instagram because I do this thing called the Gorpies, which voting is still live. This will go up on Thursday. Voting is still up for one day. The time this happens.
Nice.
So if you haven't voted, do it.
Yeah.
But it's a little award show. And when I have a question at the end saying, who do you want to come on? And someone wrote your name and I was like, oh, how have I not asked them to come on yet?
Oh, that's awesome.
And then
it was them.
When I put up the announcement saying you were coming on, they messaged me and said, thank you for listening. So shout out to iTrap Plans for that. Yeah.
For real. Shout out, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. I think they sell clothes, right? On their Instagram?
I Trap Plants. I'm not sure. I think they just post like house plants. Plants in bottles. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Terrarium, I think I maybe terrariums. Just started following them. Yeah. They sent me a message like last week.
There you go. Wow.
Send me some love. So they'll be hyped that they see this. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're playing us. They got what, yeah, exactly,
I gotta,
what they wanted.
I gotta message them and let them know, like, hell yeah, dude, like, thanks. Thanks for the suggestion, I trap plants.
Hell yeah. Travis, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have a little chat with you. Where can people find you on the internet or in real life? What's your address?
Full address, credit card number.
Yeah, here, social, if you're feeling generous.
Yeah. My Instagram is where I'm most active. I have a TikTok, but it's kind of like more than, you know, one or two social media things is kind of OD for me. I feel like I'm so distracted in my normal life that if I had more social media, it would just, like, yeah, I would never get anything done. So yes, check me out on Instagram. It's Travis.Sphinx. My website is TravisESphinx.com.
TravisESphinx.com. Beautiful.
Yeah. Always have, random drops going on there whenever I'm, not too busy with just, having existential crises and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it happens to all of us. I understand.
Yeah. Right.
Hell yeah. Well, yet again, thank you. It's been a lovely chat, and let's keep in touch.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you later.